The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
Good afternoon. Beth and Howard in for Andy again today. So for the next hour, over to you. What is on your mind this lunchtime? 66 13 68 is the number to call. You can speak to us live on air. It'd be great to get your text messages and emails as well, 166 177 or studio@manxradio.com. So we've been hearing about a lot of things in the news this morning. Electricity price hikes are nigh the first day this weekend. How concerned are you about that? We've also been hearing from the new CEO of Visit Isle of Man. Have you got any thoughts on what she had to say? And a local charity wants to save a 189-year-old church in Lonnon. All that or something else completely, whatever is on your mind, we would love to hear from you. You can also find us on WhatsApp as well. If you put us into your contacts, 07624 166 177, then you can contact us that way as well. Now, one of the stories we were following yesterday was the fact that we've seen parents using social media to highlight open access concerns at the hospital. Lots of messages about the fact that those with vulnerable children or youngsters with a serious health condition have reportedly been told their open access has been removed. We have contacted Manx Care to try and get some clarity on this situation, but we haven't heard back from them as yet. But I did have a message from someone who said, I have to say, we have not had this from the hospital and we have the doctors and nurses that deal with our daughter on speed dial. I'm very surprised some people have had issues with it because we've had nothing but support and regular contact with the team that deal with our daughter. We've even been told to ring the ward if she has a funny turn, a bit like calling the maternity unit before heading up there so the right doctors can get involved. So I don't know if it's a situation that you have been dealing with. If you have, do let us know. But until we get the official point of view, that's a more positive reflection on that story that we've been running on the Manx Radio website. So we did hear this morning from the new CEO of Visit Isle of Man agency, Deborah Heather. She's taking up the post after previous experience working in national and regional tourism boards in the UK and beyond. What challenges them does the Isle of Man face in trying to compete in the global travel market and put itself on the map? Well, Deborah's been speaking to Rob Pritchard.
The Isle of Man's a really interesting product and concept and all of those things, but actually I've felt for years has not held its place in the whole tourism map, I guess, of the world. In some respects, it's been underachieving for a long time. There's infrastructure issues, but actually it's just a really well-kept secret.
You say that the Isle of Man might be perceived, in your words, has been underachieving recently. Why do you think that might be the case?
What I find is when I meet people outside of the island from whichever feeder market we might be looking at, I find that if they're engaged and they know about the island, they're super fans. What the other extreme is, and the vast majority of people know nothing about it.
We've seen the disruption due to weather and engineering works taking place at the airport, and of course the boats can be subject to disruption depending on conditions. So how do you actually go about marketing the Isle of Man as a proper competitor when the travel links aren't always necessarily consistent?
I think the first thing to remember is that's not unique to the Isle of Man. So I think we can't just be defeatist about some of those issues. And we're obviously subject to weather because we're not in one of those climates which has glorious Caribbean type weather. Actually, it's part of the engagement. We've got to think it's part of the way of thinking this is an adventure because it's more than just driving up to Scotland or driving to the Lake District. Getting on a ferry, getting on a plane is actually part of the experience, and we've got to make that a positive part.
What are the targets at the moment, visitor-wise?
The current year is 300,000, with a slight increase in spend, which I think is achievable. We're already tracking really, really well for the beginning of the year. So I think they're potentially conservative, but I have a limited time to make a difference with the team. But actually, this planning phase now for the autumn and the spring shoulder seasons will really help us this year and then going into next.
Particularly going towards the summer months, how does the Isle of Man compete in any way, I guess, to its nearest rivals in trying to say to people, look, the Isle of Man is a better place to come? How do you make sure that people are choosing the Isle of Man? How tough is it?
it is a tough ask because it's not very, people are not very knowledgeable about the island. So we do need to pull out those things that attract people. But in the next breath, what we don't want on this island is over tourism. We don't want the situation, I've moved here from Devon, we don't want the situation we see in Devon and Cornwall where you can't park, you can't get around, you sit hours on a motorway or a road. What we need to do is flatten the demand and pull it out seasonally so we've got a longer season to help protect those businesses that are on the island, but also really to improve the experience of the customer.
That is the new CEO for the Visit Isle of Man agency, Deborah Heather. What do you make of what she had to say there? Lots of reaction from this on the Manx Radio Facebook page. Stephen says, we have the potential for a great tourist industry, but we need to do what the Victorians did. Have foresight, take risks and invest, invest, invest. The industry has been in steady decline since after the Second World War. We have to have vision and reinvent ourselves. Chris says, just have a glance at the flight info boards at Ronald's Way. That might give you a clue, although as we've just been hearing in the midday news, some positive news about that. Ronald's Way saying it will be carrying out final checks on the instrument landing system work in the next few days. So if you do see or hear a small aircraft flying at low level around the airfield and nearby during that time, that is what is going on there. So hopefully an end to that situation on the horizon. But Michael says, spend the money on tourism, not the vanity projects dreamt up by the DOI and not finished off properly. It's a real difficult one, isn't it? And Howard Kane, I'm not going to suggest that you remember the heady days of mass tourism over here in the Isle of Man. I wouldn't suggest that at all. But the reality is we're not, I suppose, the go-to sunshine destination, are we?
Oh, I haven't been for a long time, surely, because it's... Yeah, I mean, I don't quite go back to Victorian times, and you see the pictures of where we are now. Douglas Head, back in the day in the early 1900s, late 1890s, thousands of people quite literally streaming up Douglas Head. And I've always wanted to go on that marvellous steam-powered platform that used to be up here, a massive tower that went up about 100 feet, I believe, with a hydraulic platform powered by steam where all the visitors went on. Then they went up 100 feet, amazing view, and did whatever they did. Didn't get their phones out, I assume. However, what the one that always gets me are things like deck chairs and Douglas Beach, and that I certainly do remember in the, what would be, sort of early 70s, around about there, I guess, when coming up 12, 13, for loads and loads of young lads around the Douglas area, certainly where I was brought up, your first summer job, go on the deck chairs with Douglas Corporation. They must have employed something like 20, 24 lads. All lads, as far as I recall, I don't know whether they get away with it now, to do the deck chairs, to basically take the money for the deck chairs to go out in the morning, and then the hard work was in the evening, collecting them all up, putting a tarpaulin over them. Not a single deck chair now, is there? You go on a nice day, even on a warm day, God forbid we ever get one, during the summer, you go down to Douglas Beach, and is it ever rammed these days? I don't think it is it?
No, it's not really. It's an interesting one, isn't it? We had a message from Jill who says, when we were moving over here, I asked the removal firm if they went to the Isle of Man. Oh yes, it's across from Portsmouth. Needless to say, says Jill, we didn't use them. The new CEO of Visit Isle of Man, first secret to be revealed, should be a sign in Liverpool for the Isle of Man ferry. Currently, there is not one. I'm sure I have seen a photograph of the new construction there, saying something about the Isle of Man, but I could be mistaken. And some messages about the electricity price hikes which are coming in this weekend. Surely the new tariff can only be levied after the next meter reading, otherwise you will be part paying for the hike before it comes in. Higher taxes on the rich, says this texter, tie up tax loopholes. And just listening to the Chief Minister's comments that government can't keep on supporting the public, if that's the case and any form of support is being withdrawn, will that extend to the money that has been gifted to the government's favoured developers in the form of developing brownfield sites? Fran says, isn't it wonderful government looks after its pals and nobody else? So lots of text messages coming in, 166177, studio@manxradio.com. But if you'd like to have a chat on air, 66 13 68 is the number.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
Manx Radio. 12:18. Lovely to have your company this lunchtime. We've had a message from Pammy. This is in response to what we've just been hearing from Deborah, the new CEO of Visit Isle of Man Agency. That lady described us as a product. Does she realise there's no decent indoor entertainment for kids? The island has been neglected since the finance centre turned up and took over. We had White City, now gone. We had Summerland, now gone. We had the Crescent Leisure Centre. We had groins that stopped the pebbles from massing up. Everything has absolutely gone, and the only thing we care about, says Pammy, is the TT, and the TT is not for everyone. It's so sad we only come to life for TT. Government and previous governments have a lot to answer for. The island is quickly turning into a mini city in the UK and losing all its charm. Lots of other texts and messages in. H?
Indeed. Plenty of thoughts coming through. Dick says, I wish the new CEO of Visit Isle of Man, Deborah Heather, all the very best in her new role. I was in tourism around the world for a few years, says Dick, and I must admit today was the first time I've ever heard someone whose job is to attract visitors say they didn't want to attract too many visitors to the island, saying her annual target is to bring 300,000 visitors. Here is also strange, says Dick, as Tim Wald and Department of Enterprise set the visitor number target at 500,000 in May of last year. I'm wondering, where did the extra 200,000 visitors that Tim Wald wanted disappear to on the lady's first day? Dick goes on, I thought visitor numbers were meant to go up and not down by 200,000 in a day. Miss Heather will fit in well, he says, slightly tongue-in-cheek, I think, with the rest of the Department of Enterprise at this rate. I didn't actually hear those figures quoted, but clearly they've gone down. It sounds a little bit odd, doesn't it? EasyJet won't pay compensation, says this person, for flight cancellations due to the landing equipment issue at Ronaldsbury. That is, of course, they say it's an extraordinary event, and they, that's EasyJet, are not liable. Very unfair on the paying passengers at the end of the day. It's not our fault either. Compensation should be payable to someone. And I think anyone who's been going to a flight, if they're going maybe to a concert, they're going to join to another flight, of course, and then you sit and wait and wait and it's either cancelled or you miss your flight, it is incredibly frustrating for people. You can understand why they do get angry about that, and that clearly the service doesn't seem as reliable as it was for many years. Hopefully it's a temporary blip, but for some people I think they feel it's a little too not temporary. First impressions, really important, says Gary, when someone's visiting the Isle of Man. 4 hours on a ferry with shockingly bad Wi-Fi is not the start we want. Isle of Man government and the steam packet need to sort this, especially with the new boat coming sometime. Yes, I don't know, we've got a confirmation on that, but hopefully that will have a good Wi-Fi. We haven't, at least I haven't heard any confirmation of Wi-Fi speeds on the new boat. One likes to think they will have thought about that. And finally, Eric says, I listened with interest about what Mr. Stuart Clegg and the team are trying to achieve with the former All Saints Church to make it a community building. This isn't the All Saints in Douglas, of course. This will be a great addition for the children in Lonnon and Bulldryne, particularly All Saints Park, who currently have nowhere to go on dark winter's nights. This building will be ideal for sports such as badminton, bowls, table tennis, etc., and I hope it gets the community and government support it needs. All the best, Eric. I think, again, there are numerous, I think, or several at least, church buildings now which are maybe decommissioned, and you think it would seem criminal to just waste them. They're lovely buildings, most of them, if you could repurpose them as they're trying to do there in Lonnon with Mr. Clegg and his team, it would be ideal.
Well, this is the Saints Centre, which has been trying to obtain and convert the church into a community centre, has been hearing. Progress has stalled on this. Supporter Stuart Clegg told us that a public meeting is going to be held on Sunday.
In the 8 years, myself and my other colleagues have been trying to do something. The church authorities seem to have been struggling to get it sorted. We've now got a new archdeacon who seems to be well-versed in getting things moving. So all of a sudden, the church is ready to go. They're ready to sell it. But the trouble is, if we'd had this 6 years ago, it would have been done and up and running now. But I'm in my mid-70s. We're at a stage in life, do we carry on or just pack out because of our health and age? But there are lots of people ringing me up saying, don't let it go. We'll support you. So Sunday at 2 p.m, the church is open for everybody to come and have a look round, and hopefully some people will say, yes, let's get stuck in, let's get it done.
What do you envisage for the church?
The centre pew has been removed and then just use the existing ordinary chairs that's in the church. Underfloor heating putting in, heat pump system to supply some decent heating in the place. And then it's for everybody to use. Non-church people, parties, groups, charities, anybody at all. And just make sure the place is here. And it's still here in 100 years' time. It's not lying as a wreck. We have no facilities, really. One of the other local chapels is proposed to be shut. The local pub, Liverpool Arms, is shut. The shop's shut. Everything's shut. So we need to save something.
Are you expecting to see a good outcome on Sunday?
Even if there's only half a dozen people come and they're keen to help, that would do. People are ringing me up now saying, yes, we'll be there. So, hopefully.
And let's talk worst-case scenario. If for some reason on Sunday a decision is made not to go forward, will this building remain empty then for years to come?
One of the previous church people gives the ultimatum that if something isn't done, they can't keep it because it's 8 years now and it's just going to downhill. They proposed at one period, and I don't know whether people would like this, but one of the alternatives was to take off the roof and make the walls safe and just leave it as a ruin, which is terrible, isn't it?
That's Stuart Clegg, a member of the Saints Centre charity, trying to work out if the public want to save All Saints Church in Lonnon. That public meeting's happening on Sunday. More details at manxradio.com. Hi, not sure if you or your listeners have heard about the increase in land registry fees our caring government has voted through. Instead of £5.75 per thousand, it's increased to 1%, i.e. £10 per thousand, quite a hike. A £300,000 house will not cost £3,000 instead of, I think it will cost £3,000 instead of £1,725 UK equivalent for the same. I think I've probably read that completely wrong, so apologies for that, but just making the point that the registry fees have changed. With regard to the electricity tariffs, yes, they go up on the 1st of April, but surely it cannot be levied until after the first meter reading. I think we had that a little bit earlier. And Ian says, I think this is with regard to tourism, ask the government to scrap the airport taxes. They can double the cost of flights, discouraging people to come here. Well, let's go to the lines and join Julian now on line one. Good afternoon, Julian.
Hi, Beth. Just having a little look at the statistics on gas prices. And at the moment, it's an interesting figure. It's 90% lower than it was last year. So the prices are roughly around the same as they were in August of 2021, which does make it interesting to know why the electricity prices on the island, which are all totally dependent on gas price, have accelerated so high. It does seem a strange situation where the electricity is shooting up, but the gas prices have dropped 90%.
It is an interesting one, and I don't profess to be any sort of expert in how the forward buying is done. But yeah, it's certainly a question actually we can ask again. I think we have touched on this before.
Yeah. One other one, Head of News, I was very impressed with your title the other day. Out of interest, just looking at what's gone on the Manx Radio website, are you aware, you know the bomb hoax thing that happened at QE2?
Mm.
What was the source and origin of the original hoax message? Do you happen to know that?
We have an understanding of where that might be, but we have nothing official on that. But we are trying to seek clarification on it.
Yeah, because if it was, because these days everything's electronic. I mean, it could be, you know, from the Antarctic or it could be from London. Because I think the story broke on GB News, and I think it even made CNN in America. So it could be anyone around the world, couldn't it? Wouldn't necessarily be hatred based on the island, necessarily.
No, I mean, that's a thing nowadays, isn't it? And certainly with the way that some of the messages can be sent and then you can't trace where they've come from, it's that sophistication is quite worrying, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it might be interesting to sort of hold our horses a little bit before we start pointing fingers and just find out if it's, you know, could even be some young person that just thought they'd have a bit of fun. You know what I mean? It's happened before in the past.
Certainly has. Julian, thank you very much as ever. Lovely to talk
to you. Thanks, Beth.
Take care. That was Julian. Helen's been in touch to say visitors would come here if we had greater connectivity for travellers. What was the person going on about over tourism? The weather doesn't put off visitors going to Scotland, Wales or Ireland. We could do better, says Helen. I mentioned a comment that was on the Manx Radio Facebook page from Stephen about needing a bit more vision. And somebody has texted to say, Stephen is correct. We need the Victorian go-ahead thinking. It's a disgrace. The tramway is left in half a baked state. Removal of the groins to ruin the beach. Is it true, says John, that all the deck chairs in Douglas and the South were burned? I wouldn't know about that, John. I don't know. H, you know anything about that?
You
not
know
suggesting
what?
That you did it.
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, honestly. Whoever did the deck chairs, it wasn't me. I did hear of that. I seem to recall a few years back now, there was, I seem to think, I saw a picture of they did burn the old deck chairs, partly because they were surplus to requirements, they weren't being used, partly because some of the old style deck chairs, I know, could be finger traps for a lot of people. They were quite tricky, and there seemed to be an accident waiting to happen for a lot of people. So whether they binned them off on the basis that health and safety and the rest, I don't know. But I think he's right in that.
As a walking destination, says G, we have overgrown glens and coastal paths. As a heritage destination, we have run-down sites. For example, the House of Mananin. Motorsports have been scaled back. What is the Isle of Man about? And Buster has been in touch to say, just wanted to say it's not EasyJet's fault for the present cancellations and delays. If the ILS on runway 26 is inoperable, then they cannot be blamed for following protocols to keep their flights safe. Buster says, I was overnight delayed going out and cancelled coming back from Gatwick last week. They paid out the return expense claim of over £335. That was overnight expenses, travel and overnight to Birmingham with a different flight from Logan Air in under 7 days. They acknowledged the claim in under 24 hours, said it was confirmed and accepted within 48 hours and paid into my account within 7 days. As a by the way, the train to Birmingham International from Gatwick was just 1 hour 40 via London and it was rather painless. We did have a message earlier from David, who was talking again about the cancellation of flights without any information on your personal situation, i.e. are you on holiday? Have you got the money to pay for accommodation? Are passengers, he asks, entitled to compensation for delays? Could you please ask someone to clarify that situation? Well, I think a Buster's situation there would suggest that he did get compensation for it. And from what I understand, flight cancellation compensation in the UK, and will include the Isle of Man, depends on the reason and duration of the cancellation. So if the airline cancels your flight, you can choose a new flight or a full refund, and as well you can claim money in compensation if the cancellation is solely down to the airline's fault. That level of compensation depends on the flight distance, and actually, interestingly, you've got up to 6 years from the end of the year of the cancellation to enforce your claim. Back to the lines, and we can join Jed now. Good afternoon, Jed.
Good afternoon. I'd like to talk about tourism, please.
Okay.
I think we do ourselves down a little, just listening to the comments about, oh, we need this, we need that, this is in disrepair. I'm really lucky. I've probably dealt with, say, 10,000 tourists in the last 10 years, and I very rarely hear any negatives about what we've got here. Because I think if you just consider your own breaks when you go away, there might be some places that you go to, but they might be a bit knackered, but they've got character and people like that. And the visitors are very responsive to, you know, having a big friendly welcome. They always mention that about the island. And really, the Manx Nation as a whole, if we welcome these people and just make the best of it as what we can, it just makes the experience a lot easier.
It's really interesting, isn't it, Jed? And I think sometimes we forget what the island looks like through a visitor's eyes. And maybe they do see it very differently. They see charm where maybe we see something's a bit run down.
Absolutely. So we all, you know, if we're lucky enough to go abroad, we can go to places that aren't perfect, but you still enjoy the experience. And I think it'd be worth the listeners noting, the hotel occupancy rates this summer appear to be good, certainly from my own perspective. And we don't have the hoteliers really shouting out about, you know, the summer months, the main months. I think the shoulder season and the winter season, we've got a great opportunity there because we've got, what is it, the European city break market, which seems to have changed now from the UK. If we could bring here people here to, you know, enjoy the fun things that we've got in the town, you know, food and drink, and maybe have some incentives on locally produced alcohol products. I think we could go far, you know.
You've got somebody emailing you right now, Jed.
I tell you, it's crazy. But I mean, this year, you know, the bookings look great. But I think the public, you know, just need to take a step back and look at what's realistic and what funds we've got available. You know, we've got it in the palm of our hand, and maybe just being a bit creative over winter. Maybe, you know, some VAT relaxation on the booze. Who knows?
Interesting thoughts. Thank you so much, Jed. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Jed there with a rather positive look at the tourism situation over here in the Isle of Man. Any thoughts on what he's had to say, or perhaps you'd like to talk about something completely different entirely? 66 13 68 is a number to call.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
It is 12:36. Just want to quickly read this text out from texter ending 505. Can I just say Stuart Clegg deserves a pat on the back. Not only has he allowed people to use Ballinet Nature Reserve, but he's completed the cafe in Laxey by the Wheel and many other projects too. I just wanted to thank him for his kindness and wish him well. It's always nice getting messages like that on The Man in Line. Let's go to the lines now and join Bonzo. Good afternoon, Bonzo.
Hello. Yes, following on from Ged on tourism. Firstly, you know, I'm very pleased to hear what Deborah Heather, isn't it?
Yes.
Has to say on the tourist industry. You know, she's injecting quite a healthy dose of realism, I think. And I think by the sound of what she's saying, she's read through her, you know, through the briefing that she's been given thoroughly and any other document that she can find. And she's actually made a, you know, a good idea and plan of what she's going to do when she gets her knees beneath the desk first thing Monday morning or whenever it is. Yes, that realism is going to be, I think, a bit of a headache for her when it collides with some of what Tingwall politicians have been saying. Because this idea of 500,000 visitors a year at the moment is just nonsense on stilts. There simply isn't the capacity to handle that. She's obviously looked at it and said 300,000 is an attainable target. And you know, that's something we can aim for in the sort of short to medium term, in the next sort of 1 or 2 years. But anything more than that is fanciful until various improvements are made in infrastructure, in the transport capacity, especially in the steam packet, of course, with the new boats coming, which of course has a third more capacity, I think, than the Ben. And also, of course, then having the accommodation and other infrastructure to be able to handle those visitors. So her idea of looking at not so much a niche market, but certainly looking at a particular brand, let's say, or section of the tourism market, and thinking of the Isle of Man as a product, and then thinking how do you get people to buy that product, and working along those lines, I think it is far more constructive idea than sort of nostalgic, oh, we used to have this, we used to have that, the deck chairs were on the beach and you know, people used to stroll on them, prom. Yeah, well, that was then. This is now. And you have to take into account what people want to do now rather than what they wanted to do 50 years ago or 100 years ago.
Interesting point there, Bonzo, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be the big problem for her, I think. And I hope she's not going to sort of meet with the discouragement that other people have met with coming from various posts in UK, etc., and trying to sort of impose realism on ministers who wish to think otherwise.
All right, Bonzo. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much, as ever, for being in touch.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
That was Bonzo. Glad to see some realism in our tourism strategy from the new CEO of the Visit Isle of Man Group. Martin believes half of our problems with things to do is that people rely on Facebook for advertising. He says we find out about events on the day or even the day after. We need better advertisements. Government says Gav can't carry on helping the public, but they are tripping over themselves to help imagination with our taxpayers' money. And why are the West hell-bent to do anything to help anyone so long as it's not its own? So I think that's that idea that actually, I think, paraphrasing Gav, you're thinking that we support other people away from the Isle of Man too much and not ours. I'm sure lots of people would disagree with that sentiment, given what other people are having to suffer with, maybe. Let's go to the lines and join Betty now. Good afternoon, Betty.
Hi. I just have one thing to say about the lady who's head of the tourist thing now.
Yes.
I don't think she need worry too much about over-touristing the island, because I don't think that will happen. It really made me laugh. It's just too expensive to get here. I think that's the main obstruction, really. Anyway, that's one thing. And the other thing was, I totally agree with the lady yesterday about dying and euthanasia.
Oh, yes. I think this was a comment from Sue that we had in. She was in a doctor's waiting room and they were having a chat about it, and they were for it insofar as they don't want to be that choice taken away from them. I think that was the essence of Sue's message.
Yes, yes, it is. Nobody's trying to make people endure this if they don't want to. It's only for those people who want it. And think that the future might be worse for them if they were to remain alive. That's all I have to say, really.
Well, thank you very much, Betty. Lovely to talk to you as ever.
I did have a laugh at the idea of the lady worrying about getting too many tourists here.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you, Betty. Lovely to talk to you. That's Betty talking about tourism there, just listening to what some of Deborah Heather had to say. Regarding tourism, this is from Big John. We are always going to suffer from the cost of getting here, and the attitude towards service of certain members of the hospitality industry. Recently, as an example, a cafe in Port Erin refused four tourists a cup of tea and a sandwich at 3:20, saying that they were not serving any food as they were closing at 4:00, 10 minutes before the steam train was due to leave. Regarding tourist attractions that have gone, like White City, we've also lost Roller City and Hovercart City, as the Manx public did not support these businesses. And then there's a cry that there is nothing for children to do. Apologies, it wasn't Big John with the first one about the Port Erin Cafe, actually. That was Big John's comment just there. If Visit Isle of Man wants people to come to the island, why has the amazing Fire Festival been scrapped because of lack of funding? I had six people coming over for it. Now they are going to the Northern Kin Festival instead. That is Alex. The smart meters are not good for our health. For example, the pacemakers, they're much more expensive as well. I didn't agree to having one. They told my son we had to have one and it was done when I was out. It's my own home. I'm very unhappy with this. It's too late now for us, but this is criminal in my opinion. We did have the message from Manx Utilities about the smart meters and the fact that actually they do not interfere with things like pacemakers. It is hardly helpful having the docking of vessels prevented at Liverpool between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. What will happen TT week if the weather impacts on the sailings? That's a message that's been sent in from Derek. If you are self-employed here, your national insurance contributions are £6 a week, regardless of what you earn. If you were properly employed, cards in on a flat week of 600 NI contributions are near £90 a week. This is not a fair system. The self-employed will get the same healthcare and pension as those that pay full NI. Why should those paying full NI subsidise the self-employed who may be taking home twice as much in wages a week? That is from Pat. I suppose, Pat, I mean, it's not a pay-as-you-go system, is it? I suppose that's the argument. It's not how much you pay in, therefore you get that certain amount out. Has the Peel Fire Festival been scrapped now? That is a text in from ending 505. Not sure on that one. We'd have to double check on that one. Let's see if we can find an answer for you. And texter ending 698 says, Foxdale Church is exactly the same situation as Lonnon. The vicar doesn't want to open it as it seems an inconvenience to have it open. They don't want to spend the money on getting the work done, so it is left to get worse. Any other thoughts, H?
Yes, Betty, of course, raising that topic of cost of getting here. Lordy, how old is that complaint? It must be, I imagine, the Vikings getting here and thinking, that cost a lot to get here. It's gone on for loads longer than the Man in Line, that whole issue of getting to the Isle of Man and off the Isle of Man, and whether that's one of the major problems with actually bringing tourism in modern days. There are a couple of other texts here. You can pull a face at me if you've read this one out already, about the bus fares. So is it true that the bus drivers didn't record the fares correctly when the £2 limit was on earlier this year, and all the data over that period is now useless, says texter ending 456. Will they try that again? Well, I don't know. I haven't heard that one. I must admit, Ron was asking about the boats in Onchan. I think he's talking about the old wooden boats, I assume. He says, what's happened to the boats from Onchan replaced with awful plastic things? The old boats were full of character. I bet we just gave those away. Hadn't heard on that one. I know the boats he's referring to, I must admit. Crystal was saying, yeah, I think this was reference off the back of Jed sort of saying maybe tweaking the licensing hours or allowing people to drink more. It says, oh, it's a great idea, Beth. How inventive. Get people over here to get drunk. Isn't that already the norm? Well, I hope not.
No. Graham's been in touch to say, just heard somebody moaning about the Fire Festival cancellation. If they read the cancellation notice properly, they would have seen the organiser has health issues and they do plan to run it next year. So thank you for getting in touch with that, Graham. I have to say, I haven't seen that cancellation notice. We will have a look at that one.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that either. Certainly the festivals, like all festivals, take an awful lot of hard work and organisation to set up. And I know there's been the Fire Festival, the Winter Festival, the ones over in Peel. They all seem very popular. But I guess, yeah, there's so many sort of things that can go wrong. An awful lot of it is volunteer labour. And again, I think unless there's lots of people all behind it and people all available at the same day, I suppose they are a nightmare to actually organise. A quick one on Marine Drive, which was Carl. Marine Drive, just up behind Manx Radio here. Beautiful in its day. Yes, it was. Just been left to fade away. All the footpaths overgrown, the railings rotting away. Where the road has slipped away, the government has had two offers to repair it. The army wanted to do it as an exercise. Then even JCK, says Carl, offered to do it. No wonder the Port Sodric pub and cafe have gone. I seem to remember, doesn't seem that long ago, it's probably 20-odd years ago when Mr Gorn was DOI minister, they looked at it and it was something, it seemed at the time a remarkably low amount of money, £1 million or two, to make it safe again. And you had to think really why it was turned down at the time, I can't recall, but you think we're never going to get it back now, and it does indeed seem to be not even being maintained in its current state, it would seem.
It's a really difficult one, isn't it, with hindsight, when we had a lot more excess money in our coffers. There were so many projects that really, you know, maybe should have been done at that time. But, you know, you don't see how things are going to play out only a few short years later, do you? But
no, I guess 2020 hindsight vision is a wonderful thing, isn't
amazing?
It? But you would have to say, whichever way you look at it, the Marine Drive has always been a very, very scenic route. It's a lovely place to cycle and walk still. But again, you do feel, as Carl sort of feels, that perhaps it's just sort of been left to rot away a little bit.
I suppose, though, where's the priority? There are so many competing issues now, aren't there? And it's just, where do you direct all that money? You'll please some people, but not all of them, and certainly not at the same time. Des has messaged to say, just because I like contradiction bonzo, if you're planning a wedding or a funeral reception, do you underestimate the catering or overestimate? Well, probably overestimate, I'd say, would you?
Oh, good call. We have a couple of them on the deck chair front as well.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of people suggesting that the best of the deck chairs were all sold off. That was Robbie, I think, said that. I think he's absolutely right on that. So maybe just the old broken ones, they actually burnt because they were useless, and they sold off the ones that people might actually want to go. But a few people said that they did actually sell off the old deck chair stock, and that people these days don't tend to use them, I don't think. Maybe there'll be a revival, like vinyl revival. Will it be a deck
chair revival? I think you're right, though. The issue of getting your fingers trapped in it is a worrying one, certainly for someone like me. I mean, I'd struggle getting them up the right way.
Another problem.
Ian says, regarding the comments about self-employed national insurance, self-employed people pay Class 4 national insurance based on their annual profits in addition to the basic NI stamp. And G says the self-employed can also pay Class 4 NI to income tax on profits above a certain level. This, says G, reduces the disparity between Class 1 and Class 2. And Carolyn Douglas says the self-employed pay a monthly sum and then they submit their yearly tax form and then they are sent a bill to pay more national insurance on what they have earned. So hopefully that explains that one. I really appreciate you taking the time to get back. It's not always easy having those sort of facts and figures to your hand when you need them. So really appreciate you taking the time to get in touch. There is a text here about the land behind the casino where there's a dilapidated lift. Can the government look into fixing it up? It's Victorian heritage left to rot. It is a crime and so sad to see it overgrown and deserted. You know, the first time I saw that was in one of Charles Gard's videos. He did those amazing videos about the curiosities of the Isle of Man. Really enjoyed those. And that's the first time that I ever saw that lift. And yeah, there was a time where you could just go up and still see it. Sadly, not in action now. But Juwan's in action and he's on line one. Good afternoon, Juwan.
Bethany, head of news. How are you today?
I'm all right. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. And just picking up on a couple of things there, Jed was talking about on tourism. And I actually agreed with Bonzo. What about that?
It's a momentous day.
Yeah. A momentous day. Let's put the flags out. Looking at the last couple of years, we've had some really good summers and some good days. And it's been nice to see like the Peel and Port Erin Beach so active to like 9-10 o'clock at night, everyone out enjoying it. And I think, you know, the freedom of expression for people to actually set up doing paddle boarding and canoeing and kayak and everything makes it such a great place to be. I mean, you wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the summer. The beaches are great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, Jed was talking about the shoulder seasons and quite rightly, you know, trying to extend it. And I think I mentioned some time ago when Andy was on, we have a fantastic place with the Villa Marina, an absolutely brilliant hall to put shows on. And it's just attracting, if we can get companies to come over. I know Roy Shuttleworth does an awful lot of stuff there. And if the steam packet could work with in conjunction with people to put shows on and say, done an all-inclusive. So if they knew that they had a hotel and they had tickets for a show, that they had a discounted price on the boat and done an all-inclusive ticket, because it seems to be primarily the price of getting here. Because, I mean, you can get a flight to Madeira for like £29 or go to Spain. So we've got to be attractive to getting people here. And like I say, not just walking up and down Douglas seafront, because Douglas is struggling for its identity. I think since all the boarding houses have gone, it has no real identity anymore, whereas Peel, Port Erin have still kept their identity. So I just need to out there a little bit of more freedom of expression. Let people set up business and not put stuff in their way just to try and get people over here and, you know, all row the ship in the same direction.
Brilliant. Thank you very much as ever, Juwan. Lovely to talk to you. Some great ideas there. We're just going to go to Howard on line two, but I just want to flag some news that's just in that we've got on the Manx Radio website. When that's Manx Telecom announcing a 12.5% price rise. That is from the start of May for its broadband fixed line and some mobile services. For all the information on that, go to manxradio.com. Just with a couple of minutes left before the end of the programme, Howard, how are you?
Hiya, Beth. Now, I've just got that in letter form from Manx Telecom. I haven't fully read it yet. But the lift you mentioned, the back of the palace.
Yes.
That was a unique little lift. It was like a little garage on wheels. And underneath it was a counterweight. And that used to go down to the bottom and haul the car up to the top. And the vice versa. It was a counterweight to stop it tearing down. And for a long while, it was still there. But as I mentioned to Howard, as you went further along and up the back of Promenade T-shirts up Little Switzerland, it's all blanked off now. There used to be a chairlift there. And there were two, actually, side by side. One went down and one went up. And you sat on them side saddle. And I can remember them because I've travelled on them dozens of times and in that little lift you're talking about. And they were painted in Corporation Green. And they had two motors, winding motors, up the top. And they used to take you from Cunningham's camp down onto the promenade. So that is a little bit of history, but I think that chairlift is mostly gone now.
I think it is, and actually it's owned by Dandara, I understand, so it's not a publicly owned asset, sadly. I also believe a consultant's report went into looking into the cost of moving it to Growdle back in the noughties, and it was about £500,000 then.
Yeah.
Shame it wasn't done, eh?
No, but I've been down to it since. You can get into it. I won't say how, because it'll have other people going in. But the motors were still there, buried in, with all the levers and the chairs. And it had overgrown with ivy. The whole canopy had overgrown, which gave a semi-waterproof roof to it. And that helped to protect it for many years. But those are the things that we shouldn't be losing. The Isle of Man is losing its uniqueness. And for that person, I only heard your programme to say that we don't want too many visitors. Well, they should be sacked or moved sideways to a job somewhere where they're not going to interfere with the prosperity of the island.
Well, I've only just moved into that job, Howard, so I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But I think, actually, to be fair, it was maybe being a little bit more realistic about the prospects of tourism and the Isle of Man, and actually just understanding where we are and where we are likely to be, maybe.
Yeah, well, if we'd had the same attitude with the Victorians, we wouldn't have what we've got, the oldest continuous sailing ferry service in the world. We wouldn't have had the hotels on the promenade, and we wouldn't have had the uniqueness of a holiday centre, the first holiday camp in Britain. Say 101 different things, and you've got a person within the Department of Enterprise with that attitude, they shouldn't be there.
All right, Howard, lovely to talk to you as ever. We are, though, out of time for today's programme. Any of the texts and emails that have come in just now, I'll hold them over until tomorrow. If you think of something you'd like to tell us while we're not on air, 682-631 is our out-of-hours answer phone number. You can leave a message there and we can play it out on the show. Howard and I will be back for the final time tomorrow. Coming up next, it's Christy D with 1 to 3. Whatever you're doing this afternoon, have a great one and we'll talk to you tomorrow.